Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
The reading this morning comes from Mark 4, verses 1 to 20. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, and the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times." Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing and never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding, otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. And as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among the thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires of other things come and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times that were sown. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Ron. Let's pray. Father God, whether these words are familiar or new to us, we pray that you would teach us so that we would be thrilled by you and your plans. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we saw Jesus encourage us that we are his fellow workers. It's actually a theme in the whole of the New Testament. We have the privilege of being part of God's mission to grow his kingdom. But the truth is, we don't always find it easy to grow his kingdom. It's not as straightforward or as simple as we would like it to be. I remember one of the staff in the factory I worked in as an accountant coming up to me a month after we'd promoted her. She said this being in charge isn't all it's cracked up to be. She'd experienced some of the hassles as well as the privilege in that first month. If chapter 3 tells us that we are God's fellow workers, if it reminds us that there is opposition that doesn't want God's kingdom to grow, chapter 4 tells us the type of ministry we are involved in and how our work for God will be effective and fruitful. We live in a world dominated by statistics, and the church is no different. Europe is a place where the church is struggling, and the UK plays its part in that. We read of lower church attendance. We observe an increasingly secular society, and we wonder and worry about people's lack of interest in Jesus. And so we wonder whether being God's fellow worker is quite as good as it was cracked up to be. Well, do not fear, because today and next week, God will encourage us with exciting news about his kingdom and how it grows. And if we doubt it, we need to remember that the Christian church is still the fastest growing faith in our world. Now, I know you can prove virtually anything by statistics. My dad was a statistician, so I know that he would tell me often. But I went online just to have a quick look, and it is estimated there are 85 million Anglican Christians around the world. That's those who are in Church of Africa, Kenya, Nigeria, whatever. And in Nigeria alone, there are 18 million. Missionaries from Africa now work in the UK and the USA because they know we need their help. The church worldwide is full of young and vibrant Christians. We need to remember that God is still building his kingdom, and the parables we'll look over the next 2 weeks will help us to expect that growth. So, verse 14. The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seeds sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seeds sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. This parable is perhaps the most famous of the ones we'll look at over these Sundays. But the danger for us is that we miss what would have shocked the original hearers. You see, they were used to seed being sown, being scattered and wasted. That was normal and mundane. The fact that there are three places where it goes nowhere and one where it does something, they would be used to that as a picture. That was normal to them. They were used to sowers and seed and different soil. What they were not used to was a harvest of 30, 60, 100-fold. They would think they would have had a brilliant harvest if it was 15 times. As they heard the story, they would have gone, "Don't be ridiculous, Jesus. 30, 60, 100-fold? Absolutely not." Jesus tells a parable that promises a stupendous growth. And that's the point of the parable, that when God's word is taught, because we're told that that's the sower seeds the word, when God's word is taught, when God is at work, there will be mind-blowing results. Now, it's important to recognize the reality of what Jesus says. When people hear God's word, and note they all hear God's word, that's not the question. They all hear the word of God. The question is, what effect does it have on each of them? When people hear God's word, they will react in different ways. That much was evident from chapter 3. The disciples respond to his call to be fellow workers. The religious leaders reject him. The crowd inquire, wondering what's going on. And Jesus' family try to gag him. It's evidence from the last chapter and from this parable that when the word is shared, some will have no response. And Satan snatches the word away from them. And I know that experience. I know that time when you've, and I bet you do, where you just mentioned Jesus and it's like you've created the most faux pas you could ever do. We don't mention that name here. In the 20 years here, I have had two barbers. That's not because I've only been twice in 20 years. I had to swap because one of them closed. And so I've gone to a new one. And I go to the same one because I want to build up a relationship and try and talk to Jesus. The first time I mentioned the name Jesus, you could have heard them. They quickly put a hot towel around my face to shut me up. It was like Satan was just taking it away before it got there. Some eagerly respond with no depth of commitment. Some are distracted by the cares and temptations of this world. You see, the point is that not all will respond favorably to Jesus and his word. And I think for a lot of us, almost the hardest thing is where someone responds, starts with joy, and then seems to lose it all quite quickly. They slip away. And I can think of a number who seemed to start well, but when friends ridiculed their faith, they gave up. But I think of the many who came to accept God's word, obey it, and grow to be more and more like Jesus. You see, the growth that's in mind here is not just that first coming to faith, that's there, but it's the growth of when we become more and more like Jesus. And there are many here today sitting in front of me that I have seen this happen to. There's been a genuine response with mind-blowing consequences. On Tuesday morning, I was sitting in a group studying the Bible with folks, and we had a great time. And I said to a couple of people in the group, I think you've been in Herne Bay 7 years. And they went, no, it's nine. And I said, if I said to you 9 years ago that every Tuesday morning you would come and you'd sit with a group of people and study the Bible, what would you have said to me? They said, 9 years ago we would have told you you were mad. I'm not sure they don't think that already anyway, but there we go. But it's amazing. And just to see the Word of God do his work in people's lives, what a privilege that is. That's why we keep on repeating Christianity Explained. Why? Because we believe as we explain the Word of God, that lives are trained, changed, eternal destinies are altered. But actually, that's just the beginning of a process. You see, God doesn't say we get to the end of when we should grow as Christians. There isn't an age limit. He wants us to grow. And he wants us to grow 30 times, 60 times, 100 times. For various reasons, I had on Thursday a really complicated day, and there was lots going on, and so the slot that I had set aside to prepare for Christianity Explained in the evening disappeared on me. And so at 8:15, I'm arriving at Christianity Explained thinking, oh bother, I haven't prepared this properly. And thinking, okay, God, you've got to stomp up here, because it ain't going to go anywhere if you don't do your bit. And so we started and had just this amazing time. The Christianity Explained has three bits, and we're supposed to get through the first two bits in about the first half hour so that we can then answer all the questions that the team group have raised. We got through the first bit after 45 minutes because there were so many good questions. I had a whale of a time. And as I was washing up afterwards and standing in front of the sink, I just thought, Lord, you're amazing. This is your word doing its work. Why did I ever think it was anything different? God is an amazing God. And God expects that when his word is preached and shared and we engage with it, we'll be changed. So I just had this amazing experience after 9 o'clock. One of our 9 o'clockers who I know a little bit. She's been here longer than me, I think. But as she went out this morning, she said, "You do know, don't you, that if I miss a Sunday morning, I always listen to the talk online. And I actually like it because I can stop you if I don't understand it. Go back and do it again." I would never have imagined that that's what she would do. Just stunning. And as I stood there and I tried not to let my jaw drop, I just thought, this is what you do, isn't it? This is 30, 60, 100 times. Think of another couple. They moved here. He was used to church, she wasn't. She decided to come for a couple of times just to settle him in properly, to make sure he was in a safe place. She's never left since. And they humble me often because they come and say to me, not proudly or anything, they just say, "Do you know, Anthony, we sat over breakfast and we opened the Bible and we talked about it and then it was coffee time. And we're still talking about it." God's growth, 30, 60, 100 times. The amazing truth is that God's word, taken by God's Spirit, brings stupendous growth. Now, it won't surprise you to hear that I'm not into the prosperity gospel, which promises financial success or perfect health or career advancement. But this prosperity, yeah, I'm into that. A gospel that believes that God will bring growth, will bring mind-blowing fruit in the lives of Christians and of those who come to faith in him. May we at Christ Church St Andrews not look at the church and lose heart. Let us look at God's expectations. Let's see the growth that's going on around us. Let's take heart. God does and will bring growth. We just need to look for it. That's why we'll continue to preach and share God's word with others, because that's our responsibility. God brings the growth. We sow the seed. And I want to thank you for the privilege of seeing you grow. To see that happen in your lives is a real privilege. I think we've just started our 15th or 16th home group. We had 1.5 when I came. Why do we have those now? Because God brings growth. Because we have had the word of God central to all we are and do. That's why men's and ladies' ministries thrive. And I recognize that I have a privilege of seeing this growth in a way that perhaps others don't. But please look for it, see it. Think about your friends in church, how they have grown. So look at yourself and see how you are growing. I've said 3 times over 20 years, so that's not repeating myself too often, that if you don't see me grow as a Christian, you should ask me to leave as vicar. Why? Because actually, we never stop growing. This parable encourages us to expect tremendous growth. But if the overall theme is clear, there is one part that often confuses us. Let me read verses 10 to 12. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." And we get a bit confused. Jesus seems to be saying he speaks in parables to confuse people, and that's not what we'd expect him to say. So let's see what he really does say here. What he describes is two groups. Firstly, we'll call them the insiders, who inquire about the things of God and to whom the secrets of the kingdom is given. These people hear the parables and their interest is aroused. They want to hear more, to know what the parable means. So they investigate, they work at it, they listen. But there is a second group called the outsiders who don't inquire about the things of God, aren't really interested in them. When they hear the parables, their interest wanes. They can't be bothered to work out what the parable means, and they drift further away. The insiders hear the brilliant story and see not just the superficial truth, but the deeper meaning. Those who aren't interested in the things of God hear the parable and go, "Can't be bothered," and so dig no further. Their reaction to the parable shows their rejection of God and his ways. Now, in fact, this quote comes from a book called Isaiah. And Isaiah was a prophet in the Old Testament, and Isaiah is at this point being commissioned to the role that he's going to have. And so Isaiah is told he's going to be a preacher. And you think Isaiah will go, "Yippee!" Except this is the end of what he's told. "Isaiah, you're going to be a preacher and no one's going to listen to you." Oh, great. Do you know, I'd find it much harder if you all had your earphones in here now going, "I'm not going to listen." You know, it's the fact that you listen that means I do spend a bit of time preparing a sermon. But Isaiah is told, no one's going to listen. And Isaiah goes, "Stuff that." He doesn't like it very much. Sorry, that's a theological term, obviously. And so having said that, God says to him, "But don't worry. Although the vast majority won't listen, there are a few who will. And you will find that in them there is life and hope." And so Jesus uses that incident to say, look, don't worry. Even if I speak in parables, there will be some who hear, receive, and obey God's word, so are forgiven and accepted. Jesus spoke in parables not to obscure the truth, but to excite the interest of the interested and to reveal the disinterest of the disinterested. But above all, this parable encourages us to believe that God will grow his kingdom. We passionately believe that at Christ Church St. Andrews. We believe he grows his kingdom as we share his word. It's why we don't lose heart, even when the spiritual battle is real, even when the devil attacks, even when for a while we don't see the growth we wish. We're no different from Jesus and his first followers. They experienced opposition. They experienced the crowd turning their backs on Jesus and what he said. They experienced the religious leaders plotting against him. But as that was happening, Jesus reminds them and us that God brings growth. People coming to faith, growing in their faith. At Christ Church St. Andrews, we've been privileged to see that. Of course, we want to see more. We always will. But Jesus calls us today to trust that he will grow his kingdom as we spread his word. And sometimes on an individual level, that feels quite hard because we think, I've been trying to do it. But you don't know the effect. 3 months down the line, 6 months down the line, a year down the line, that conversation you had, that word you said, will have on that person. So let's today renew our trust in God's growth strategy. Let's today renew our commitment, individually and as a church family, to spreading the good news of Jesus. But let's expect growth. Yes, and disappointment, because that's in the parable as well. But let's expect growth. Do you trust God's growth strategy? Are you with the program? Not our program, but his. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you so much that we can look around and see growth in our lives and in other people's lives. Thank you that as we engage with your word, we see ourselves growing to be more like Jesus. Father, we pray that you would grow your kingdom in our lives and in the lives of others. May we see people come to faith and grow in faith. And may we rejoice every time we see it. In Jesus' name, amen.